You're listening to Trek FM.
This is Robert Picardo, the emergency medical hologram from Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey.
To the journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
We are here to talk to you today about two awesome topics, one shorter than the other, but both equally awesome. And that is our... Who would be our Super Star Trek crew?
Super crew!
Super crew from across all of the Treks, and also... Who would our dream cast be for a Star Trek Voyager reboot? Now, the reboot question came from our good friend, Ken Tripp.
And we had Carl Morris and Karen Dunbar both submit to us in our AMA, the supercrew question.
That's right. Yeah, all of these, both of these came from the AMA that we did a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And we promised you that we would get to these questions, and we are fulfilling our promise like we always do on To the Journey. Okay, so, supercrew. Now, this is a very common Star Trek question.
It is.
I mean, like, whether you're in a Star Trek community on Facebook or Twitter or at a convention or, you know, you're talking face-to-face, you have some friends, whether you're growing up or you're an adult now, you will be asked this question. You will be asked the question of, if you could, you know, regardless of time and space, if you could assemble your own Star Trek crew... Who would it be and why? And there was even a really kick-ass Star Trek computer game based around this whole concept. Oh, what was it?
Was it really?
Yeah, was it Starship Builder? I think you could pick your... correct me if I'm wrong, fans, but I think in Starship Creator, you could pick your own crew and you could have, like, Riker as the counselor if you wanted to. And... You know, you could have Chief O'Brien as the captain. I don't know. You know, like you could do whatever you wanted to and make that crew and then design your own ship. I think that was the case. And it was a lot of fun.
OK, when did that game come out?
Well, it was made in 1998.
OK.
And it was it came out on Mac and PC. That's pretty progressive for 1998.
It was. Yeah, for real.
And you needed at least, hold on to your hats, you needed at least 25 megabytes of hard drive space in order to run
Ooh,
this game.
Ooh, killer.
And I remember a long time ago, I tried to install this on it wasn't even like that new of a computer, but I tried to install it and it would let me install it, but it said, oh, you need QuickTime 3 in order to run this. I'm like, oh, but I have QuickTime 5. They're like, yeah, sorry, not the same thing, buddy.
Yes. Yes, you had to have the downgraded version as well as the latest version because they were encoded so incredibly different back then. I don't know if that's still the case today.
I need to try it again. I need to see if there's a way to I'm sure there's some sort of ROM or emulator. But yeah, it looks like you could do this. Like, listen to this. Like, after a ship had been fitted with its own onboard systems, personnel of a crew could be assigned and... it says right here, certain officers, mostly the main characters, were restricted to either the captain or first officer position and their positions from the respective series. For instance, Geordi LaForge could only be placed in the captain, first officer, or chief engineer roles, and crew from TOS and TNG eras could not be intermixed. Okay, so they had a lot more rules. We are going to break those rules tonight.
Let's break all the rules. To heck with rules today. I'm throwing out the book.
That's right. That's what we do here on To the Journey. Now, we're going to go, let's just go down the list. And so, right off the bat, you got to go with the most important, Captain.
Very, very important. One thing I think we ought to decide, though, is what era are we creating in our super crew? I mean, we
no
get to decide
here.
That, right? No rules? Okay.
No
I'm
rules.
Going 24th century because that is my personal favorite. And therefore, that helps me decide who I would want my captain to be. And that would be Captain Picard.
Captain Picard, fantastic choice.
In the
now,
Alpha Quadrant,
choose?
Though.
Why did you choose Captain Picard?
Because in the 24th century, Captain Picard, I think, is the quintessential captain. You're not going to get into tons of firefights on the Enterprise D. A lot of times you're ferrying diplomats and having just a jolly good time on the biggest ship in the fleet. And so if I were in that era, I would want the peace of mind and the safety of maybe a good commander who's not going to get us into a whole lot of trouble, and we're not in a terribly dangerous situation a lot of the time. I mean, I figure Routine Trek, your Twitter account of Routine Trek of, you know,
which I haven't
Troy
used for like
and Riker
5 weeks.
Do crew evaluations over some hot fudge sundaes and 10 forward, and then 5 people get promoted. That's mm-hmm. typical, I think, of an Enterprise D day in the life. And as an officer, yeah, I want some excitement, but I don't want my life in danger every single day. So I would go with him. Who would you pick?
Well, okay, so I have to preface something. I chose an admiral position.
Oh.
I went a little bit outside the box where I chose Picard as my admiral.
Oh, you promoted him.
I promoted him. And well, then. He would be the guy who would come onto the ship every once in a while to shake things up. And you'd be like, is he a badmiral or an admiral? You know, like, you know, like you kind of ask that question. But the thing is, I feel like he would be the first admiral to not be a badmiral.
We can only hope. We need some non-badmirals out there.
But the thing is, my captain, some of you might think like, oh, Tristan, you're a huge William T. Riker fan, and you would be right. But as captain, I would choose Captain Sisko, because oh. I think, like, was he the best captain? No. You know, was he the most diplomatic? No. But he got crap done, okay?
Truth.
And I think that you would never be bored on a starship that was captained by Benjamin Lafayette Sisko.
Fantastic.
Now, you may not survive, but you'll never be bored.
Fair enough. Now, I think I sort of ended up defaulting on being on the Enterprise D as my ship. What ship would you have Captain Sisko in charge of? Because he did have the Defiant. Now, would you stick to that, or are you going to branch out?
Some new age 25th century ship.
Oh.
That's what I would do. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Like we're in like the post Nemesis days. Just some advanced cool ship.
Something we've never even seen before.
Something new, yeah.
Cool. Okay.
All right, so XO.
All right, I have to go with Spock.
Nice.
For one
Picard,
thing,
Picard and Spock, that's quite a combination.
It's going to be a very level-headed top of the line right here, because, yeah, Spock, of course, based in logic, is going to work on reason and not from emotion. And Picard, I think they're going to have a good camaraderie based on those things. Picard is a very reasonable person himself. It's not like he's not human, but he's not the same type of person that Kirk is.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Picard evaluates a lot more than he acts. And so he and Spock, they're going to be big strategists, and they're going to work very well together. So,
yeah. I think that's good.
And then also for the sciences, you've got Spock's expertise, and that's not a bad thing either. So now, is your XO William T. Riker?
You bet your ascot it is, because I can't imagine a world where Riker's not the XO, like, especially if he's not the captain. And the thing is like, for the same reasons that you chose Picard and Spock to be captain and first officer, because it'd be a very level-headed ship. Can you imagine the ship where Sisko is the captain and Riker is the XO?
Think about
how crazy that would be. All that testosterone just flying around in one room.
Totally. I want to be in a ready room meeting with those two, shots firing back and forth. You know what's great, though, is they're both going to come from very good places.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to make really good cases for whatever they're saying, whichever side they're on. Riker is great as a first officer to bring up other options that maybe the captain has not considered, or at least give them more attention than maybe what they got. And so that's probably a good thing for Sisko, because Kira did a great job of that too with him. And therefore, I would say that's actually a pretty darn good match. But yes, sparks are going to fly.
Yes, it's like sparks are going to fly. People are going to yell. And like, I'm remembering when like Jellicoe took over, and I could just see like Riker being super honest, where he's just like, you know what? You know, I don't like you, and I don't think you're a very good captain. And then the Sisko goes back and goes, oh yeah? Well, I don't like your beard.
I love it.
And
I love it.
I want that to happen so bad, and I'm sad because I know it never will.
It'll happen in our imaginations, Tristan. It just did.
In our headcanons.
You've got solace in that.
Who I have next is science officer. Did you pick someone a science officer or like,
well,
because
I have Spock, I have him doubling as first officer slash science officer, just like he did on the original series. So who would be your science officer?
My science officer would be Data. I was raised on Data. You know, I love, he can do anything. I'm kind of with, what's that? Maddox? Is that his name?
Commander Maddox?
Yeah, I understand where Maddox was coming from. Of course, don't write me letters. I don't actually agree with him, you know, like potentially killing Data and dismantling him and everything like that. But I do understand the benefit to having a Data on every ship. You know,
sure.
Like I get that. I understand the benefit. Please, again, don't write me letters about, you know, like institutionalized robotic slavery.
Right, that's not what you're talking about.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that if I had the if I had the choice to have Data on my ship or not have Data on my ship, I'm gonna choose to have Data on my ship.
Okay, good, fair enough. Yes,
and because think of all the things he can do. I mean, there's so many times that like the crap is hitting the fan and like no one knows what to do, and then like Picard just looks at Data and goes, "Data," and he just says his name, and then Data does the thing. You
right,
know?
And he does it in 0.56 seconds because he's that fast, because he's a machine.
Yeah, exactly, and he's fantastic. So there, boom. Science
All up. Right, very cool. Okay. Now, who do you have next on your crew roster?
I have the engineer, which is one of the most important roles of the ship.
Absolutely.
Give us your engineer.
Okay, well, my engineer has got to be Trip Tucker.
Oh, nice. I was not expecting that. Such a good choice.
It was really close. I mean, I love B'Elanna Torres. I love Geordi LaForge. And I love Scotty to death. And I almost picked Scotty, but Trip Tucker is going to balance out Spock and Picard.
That's true.
He's the more emotional guy. He's like the bones in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And yet he is super good at what he does. He's one heck of a fantastic engineer. And I just like the guy.
He's great.
He is. But you do need the emotional appeal. And Trip Tucker is going to bring that. He's going to achieve that balance that's so incredibly important for the big three on a Trek series, and so I went with Trip Tucker. Who did you pick?
Well, I want to talk about Trip a little bit, though, because
Let's talk Trip.
I think Trip gets a bad rap, because I was actually surprised to see how many people don't like Trip, because when I watch Enterprise, I watch the Trip show. He is my, hands down, my favorite character on Enterprise.
He is mine as well. Well, I don't know. He's probably... No, he is my favorite. I had to reevaluate for a second, but he is, and it's so funny because he did not start out as my favorite. In fact, he was one of the ones I disliked the most to start out, but they developed him so beautifully that how can I not like this guy? They really did change him and turned him into a beautiful, beautiful character, and Connor Trinneer really brought it as well.
Yeah, he definitely made that character his own.
Definitely. So with those things in place, yeah, I love the Trip episodes. They're some of the very best.
It's no surprise who my engineer is.
Tristan, who's it gonna be?
Well, it's one of those same things that I have with Data. You know, it's just like, would you choose to have B'Elanna on your ship, or would you choose not to have B'Elanna on your ship?
I know.
And I'm going to choose to have B'Elanna on my ship for reasons. And I'll give some of those reasons now. I think you need someone with cojones in engineering. That person who is going to stand up for herself and tell the captain when he or she is wrong. And she knows her way around an engineer. Like, we have been blessed in Star Trek with the best engineers. Every single show. Every single show.
They're
Scotty,
all great.
LaForge, O'Brien, B'Elanna and Trip, all of those are fantastic characters and fantastic at what they do. Whether you like them or not, they're fantastic at what they do. Now, granted, everybody in Star Trek is fantastic at what they do, but you understand what I'm saying. They're the cream of the crop. And B'Elanna, I think she gives, like, if you look at the theme that I have here, I have Sisko, Riker, and Data so far. And then, could you imagine B'Elanna and Data trying to work with each other? Like LaForge is very like, if LaForge is your best friend, B'Elanna is that temperamental sister.
You don't know which version of her or which version of her you're going to get at that particular moment. Are you going to have to walk on eggshells because she's in a kind of a pissy mood? Is she going to be just fine and perfectly happy? Or is shit hitting the fan and it's all business?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that kind of mixture with Data and B'Elanna would be a lot of fun. And she also, and we all also know that she admires Data from
yes.
the previous episode.
Also, B'Elanna loves robots. And so they're probably going to have a good connection. They're probably going to work together when they're not talking emotions. When they're just doing science and engineering stuff, they're going to be one heck of a team.
Now, who's next on your list? Because the next one on my list is Khan.
Okay, you know what? Let's skip that for a moment because I've got one other person in between there, and I don't know why I did the placement that I did. I wasn't necessarily going from top down, but the next person I have is Uhura as both communications slash counselor.
Oh, nice.
Because I think those two things intertwine quite nicely. She has a little more to do. She, I think, would be an exceptionally good counselor as well. Not only does she have language expertise, but she has a really good reading of people.
And she would tell you when you're being stupid.
Exactly. Yeah, Uhura has the cojones, as you mentioned, to stand up and say, you know what? You're full of it. Look, here is reality. But she would do it in a very compassionate way because Uhura has also a gentle nature to her. So I think she's incredibly qualified for both, and therefore I doubled her activity on my ship.
I think that's a solid choice. I don't have anybody for communication or counselor.
No counselor on your ship?
No, I don't.
Dude, think about what happened on the Equinox if they would have had a counselor.
Think
Neelix. Things might have helped. Neelix the counselor?
I'll make Neelix my counselor.
That's funny because I have in my version of 10 Forward, whatever I would call it, I have both Neelix in the kitchen and Guinan as my bartender because I can. Just to throw that out there.
Nice. All right, well, let's go into somebody that we know we have on each other's list, and that's the Doctor.
Okay.
Who would be the Doctor on your crew?
The Doctor for me would be Dr. Phlox.
He's my Doctor, too!
All right! Yes, I love Dr. Phlox, and next to Trip, he is probably my next favorite character on the show.
Mine
it's like,
too.
Depending on my mood, like, Trip is up there, Phlox is up there, and then sometimes Porthos is up there just because he's cute. And, I mean, you got to have those lighthearted moments. But Phlox is an incredible doctor. I mean, the dude has how many degrees in how many different fields? I mean, he is so overeducated and overqualified for any job that it just astounds me. He can work his way through, I feel, any problem. So if you were to magically have him in the 24th century with even more technology at his disposal and he's not just, like, he doesn't have just leeches to work with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'd say he would
We don't use leeches anymore.
Yeah, I would say he would rival the EMH.
I think so, too. I really do. I think they tapped into some gold, and I don't think they knew what they had on the NX-01. But Phlox, he's something special. And, like, when we first started the show, I was just like, I don't know. You know, like, I don't know if I'm going to like this guy. Like, he opens up the show with, "Optimism, Captain!" And you're just like, oh, God, I don't know if I can take 4 years of this. But then we find this arc, and then, like, we start with "Optimism, Captain," and then we end with Phlox saying, I feel like when he's talking about T'Pol and Trip's baby, he's like, I feel like I'm losing a child of my own. I'm just like,
yes.
Oh, God. Oh, the feels.
Yeah,
oh,
because God. That's how we're feeling, too.
Give me my pills. Put one underneath my tongue.
He's the audience surrogate for us in that moment. We're all thinking that and all feeling that and just, I want to give you a hug, man.
I know.
We're going to get through this together.
Okay, so we got Doctor. And I have someone for the con.
Okay, who have you got?
And I'm just going to get out there. It's Paris. I mean, come on.
He's
the flyboy. I'm not going to put Wesley on the ship.
Sorry, but no. Although, you know who I did think of for a flash second? I mean, flyboy was my first choice, but I also thought, what about Lieutenant J, Tracy Coco, your favorite extra character? I thought about having her on the ship, but then, well, flyboy... Tracy Coco, I'm sorry. Tristan's holding up the autographed picture I got of him of Tracy Coco from Vegas. As wonderful as she is, I had to stick to main characters, and therefore Flyboy wins out on that basis alone.
Okay, well, okay, so Flyboy is on the con, but when Flyboy is with B'Elanna making babies, Lieutenant J is at the con on my ship.
She's on beta shift. How about that?
She's on beta shift. Yeah, there you go.
All right. It's cool. We can get the best of all the worlds on our super crew because this is super crew.
All right, security slash tactical.
Well, I think you have to go with Worf.
I go with Odo.
Ooh, well, that's also a very good choice for completely different reasons. But when I want somebody to go out and find something and kill it, nobody's better than Worf.
Well, see, here's the thing. Security and tactical are two very different things. Yeah. I think Worf was better at tactical than he was security. And and Odo, I could never see doing tactical. But he was amazing at security because on a space station, you need an investigator.
You
need someone who can keep the peace. That was Odo. Worf would never be able to do that on a space station. So I guess it really all depends. Like, I think you're right. Like, Worf is fantastic for his role on a ship. And Odo is great for a space station. But I just love Odo so much. I love his storyline, his arc, his abilities. It's just, I want that on my ship.
Yeah, I don't know if I would want him on a ship, though, unless he's on some long-term mission that has a lot of danger to it and he needs to gather intelligence. Odo is a strategist.
Mm-hmm.
He is very calculated in his actions, whereas Worf is much more, he needs to just be on the front lines out there with a phaser or a compression phaser rifle. And I think for a ship, you want somebody more like Worf. If you want somebody to be gathering information and coming up with strategy on how to deal with a much bigger, less immediate problem, you want somebody like Odo.
Now, what positions do you have left on your list?
I did not do anybody for ops.
I did somebody for ops just because I think I want the engineer to stay in engineering.
Yeah.
I want the engineer to focus on the ship and how it goes. You know, and I feel like I really feel like there would be two separate things, is that the engineer works on the engines and operations make sure the ship runs smoothly. And so I would put O'Brien in operations where he would fix everything that breaks down, and B'Elanna would work on the engineering issues. I think that's a great division that more ships should have had.
Actually, you know, okay, I want to steal that from you because I really like that idea, because B'Elanna needs to work on the bigger engineering problems, or in my case, trip. But when it comes to the day-to-day operations of small glitches, small fires we need to pull out, and then the rest of what ops does, I suppose you do need somebody there. And Chief O'Brien would be fantastic at that. I'm going to put him in, and that is my list.
That's my list. So just to review, I have Admiral Picard, who pops in every once in a while, Captain Sisko, First Officer Riker, Science Officer Data, Engineer B'Elanna, Khan Paris, Dr. Phlox, Security Odo, and Operations O'Brien, with the Neelix as the counselor, kind of, maybe just a joke, and Lieutenant J as Beta Shift Khan.
Okay, great. So I have Captain Picard, First Officer Spock, Engineer Trip, Dr. Phlox, Counselor / Communications Officer Uhura, Flyboy flying the ship on Alpha Shift, Lieutenant J on the Beta Shift. We have Chief O'Brien in Ops, and Neelix cooking the food, Guinan bartending. Am I forgetting anybody?
And Worf at security. I don't know.
And Worf at security. Thank you. Yeah. I knew there was somebody. So there we go. Those are our super crews.
That's our super crew. Now, wow, that took way longer than I thought it was going to.
Yes.
So we need to get to the reboot. We need to get to it fast. So
let's do this. Okay. Captain Janeway, let's start at the top.
Well, now, before we get into that, I think we need to establish that our thought process behind this, because
you're right.
My thought process behind my reboot was an Abrams-style movie reboot.
Okay, I kind of went in the same direction where we're going to have a younger cast, it's going to be a new cast, and it's probably going to be a completely, like, a real reboot, not Voyager done over in 2015.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, like, some of these people that I have picked, you're going to be like, what? She could never do a Kate Mulgrew impression. Well, that is not what I'm looking for. They did not get Chris Pine to do a William Shatner impression. They got Chris Pine to play Kirk in a different way. He's a very different Kirk.
And yet he's still Kirk.
He looks different than Kirk. He acts different than Kirk. But yet he still has certain aspects of Kirk that ground him in that franchise.
Truth. Now, one thing that I did with my methodology, and I want to know if you did this as well, is I went for people who had a similar look and or sound to the original characters.
I went, like, my main thing was really race. I tried to keep the races the same, and I tried to keep the age the same that they were when it was released in the 90s. It's going to be way off.
Some of mine might be too.
Yeah. And some of these would be like, well, some of these actors I could see doing a Voyager TV show reboot, mm-hmm. and some of these people I could see doing a Voyager, you know, $100 million movie. So right. I'm kind of going back and forth on my rationale there.
Okay. And some people, honestly, probably wouldn't work at all, but this is who I would pick if I had the option to cast them and choose. I mean, it's my hypothetical, darn it.
Yeah, exactly.
To tell you the truth, there's a lot of names of people that I found. I honestly do not know who a lot of them are. I am not familiar with all the people who are up and coming in Hollywood. I'm not a movie buff like you are. I don't watch tons and tons of TV. And even among things that I do watch, I don't necessarily follow the careers of everybody. And so I did a lot of research for this. I did a lot of kind of like matchmaking based on age and looks and sound to reboot my characters. So let's get this party rolling. Who did you cast as Captain Janeway?
Now, who I cast as Captain Janeway is, it took everything in me not to pick Charlize Theron. Because, like, I know we talked about her a lot before, saying, like, oh, if Seven didn't come on, you know, who could we cast? And mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of that idea of Charlize Theron being on Voyager. But I was just like, there's no way that she would be a good Janeway. Do I think she'd be a great captain? Absolutely. But Janeway, no. And so who I went with was Kim Dickens.
Okay, for those of us who do not know, who is Kim Dickens?
Yeah, and don't worry, I will always do that. I will always talk about where these people come from. Kim Dickens, right now, is most known for Fear the Walking Dead. She is the lead protagonist in Fear the Walking Dead. Some of you might have recognized her from House of Cards, or Sons of Anarchy, or Gone Girl, where she played Detective Boney. And she was also in a season of Friday Night Lights. And she was in Lost a little bit. So this is, like, she was in Deadwood as well. She's a huge TV actor. And you guys, you would have seen her in everything and never know who she is.
You're right, because I just looked her up. I had no idea she was on House of Cards until I saw her face and then recognized her. Oh, I had no idea who that was.
I'm a big Kim Dickens fan, and she was mind-blowing in Gone Girl. She was absolutely fantastic as Detective Boney in Gone Girl.
You're right.
I think that she has this, I mean, she's the appropriate age. I think that she can command a room. Like, when she played the detective in Gone Girl, you believe that she earned that position and that she commanded the room. She commanded the police force, and she was smart. Okay, she was it would have been very easy in that movie to make the local cops seem like rubes, because that's a stereotype. But she wasn't a Rube. And so I feel like she could command a starship and be intelligent enough to have a science-y background like Janeway.
I totally agree. I love your choice. That is a really good selection. And she even has a little bit of the Janeway look. Like, if you put the wig on her, she's going to pull it off.
I think so, too. So who's your Janeway?
You know, my Janeway is a lot younger than your Janeway. Okay. And maybe a little too young, but I'm going for reboot, like young. Younger people, for the most part, with almost, like, I'm trying to approximate the range in age similar to what the original Voyager cast was, but I went with Scout Taylor Compton.
I have no idea who that is.
I bet most people don't. She's probably best known for being in horror films. She was in Halloween and Halloween 2, and she has very much a Janeway look. She is not a very, I think, incredibly well-known actress, maybe outside of horror. But I don't know if she's got the guts to be a captain. I don't know if she's got those leadership qualities that would make her a good captain. But looks-wise and voice-wise, she even has a little bit of a gravelly voice. Like,
she's younger than I am.
But she could be Captain Janeway.
She's younger than I am.
So?
She was born in 89.
So?
Okay, so we're talking like Voyager, like, well, in the Academy.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, essentially, when I saw Star Trek 2009, I thought, God, this is a bunch of 22-year-olds. Well, this is kind of the same thing I went for.
Well, I okay, all right. If that's what you go for, that's fine. But just so you know, the age of the actors in Star Trek 09, they were older than Kirk and Spock were.
It's true. And this is probably the worst like deficit of age that I have in comparison to the actual actors on Voyager when they started the series. I mean, Mulgrew was 39.
That's true.
But she has the right face. And so I went with her. Deal with it.
All right.
First officer, Chakotay.
So I chose Adam Beach. And some of you are like, oh my gosh, who is Adam Beach? Well, he is Native American. And sadly, there is just a handful of successful Native American actors out there.
That is a shame.
He is one of them. He was born in 1972. So he's around the same age as Kim Dickens. And like Kim Dickens was born in 65. And so I wanted someone comparable in age to that. And Adam Beach, he is a very handsome man. He doesn't look like Chakotay at all, but he's very handsome. He's Native American. I wanted to keep that character Native American. He was in Flags of Our Fathers, Wind Talkers, and Cowboys and Aliens. And he was in tons of other stuff, but that was probably his most famous work. And he was on, he guested on Hell on Wheels. He's in a couple episodes of Revolution. I just feel like he's a solid actor, and I believe the character should be Native American because we need to get that different kind of perspective in Star Trek because we didn't normally until then. And he's going to be in the new Suicide Squad movie as Slipknot, and I'm a huge Suicide Squad fan, so I'm excited to see him in that. So I think he would make a real presence as Chakotay.
And I'm looking at him right now. He actually, I think he would definitely pass as a Chakotay. Even with, if we could put a little bit of pepper in his hair, he'd be the peppered XO, no problem. I think he's got a pretty good look, actually.
So who's your Chakotay?
I wish I would have gone for a Native American actor. I did not. I went with Max Greenfield. He was one of the few people that I actually know in my brain as an actor who I thought would have enough of a look to maybe fit this role. And he was in Veronica Mars. He was in Ugly Betty. He was in Modern Men. And
The guy who, I'm sorry to cut you off, but isn't he in New Girl? He's in New Girl.
Yes, he is. That's probably where people know him right now.
I never would have guessed in a million years that you would have chosen him, Mr. Kersey.
I think it's more of the dark hair and the chin. Okay. If you look up a picture of him, I mean, he's kind of got the Robert Beltran chin. He can style his hair to look like a Chakotay. And yeah, age-wise, he's a little older, which I always thought Chakotay was, over Janeway by a few years. Now, granted, my...
Really?
Yes.
Just a tiny bit.
And of course, my Janeway and this Chakotay would have a big disparity in age by more than a few years. But I would go with him because he is a known actor, and I could see him doing a TV series. Because he's done TV.
Yeah.
So
that
solidified my choice there.
All right. How about we move on to Tuvok?
Okay.
This one is, you don't really see him in TV that much. And I think he is an amazing actor. And I want to see more of him because I haven't seen that much of him in movies recently. Like if you do see him in a movie, it's usually just like a bit part here and there. And he's been in the Gladiator, Blood Diamond, Guardians of the Galaxy, The Island, big, big movies. And that's Dojuman Hansu.
Okay. I have no idea who that is.
Google him and you'll completely understand who he is. He was, I think his first movie was Amistad by Steven Spielberg. He was the protagonist in Amistad.
Okay. I'll have to look him up, but first I need to figure out how to spell his name. I'll do that later.
Yeah, for those of you who want to look him up, and how do you spell his name? Is Dijimon and then Hounsou. And he's from West Africa, and he has a very commanding presence and a beautiful face and just very pleasing features. He has a fantastic accent. I think it would be fun to incorporate that accent into Tuvok. I just think he would very much sell when I casted him, I needed to cast a best friend of Kim Dickens Janeway.
Mm.
when I picture the two of them together as confidant and as best friend and as a shoulder to cry on, I think look very good together.
Okay, that's really good methodology. I don't know if I quite have the same lines here. My cast is not coming together the way I wanted it to, but it's all hypothetical anyway, right? It's never going to happen.
There's no right or wrong answers.
Yeah, well, the person I went with was Dwayne Martin.
Dwayne Martin.
I first knew who he was from White Men Can't Jump. And he's done little bits of things in movies and TV throughout the years. He did a movie called Down Periscope, which is actually a horrible movie, but I saw that.
Oh, that movie's amazing!
No, it's terrible. It's awful. He was in Scream 2. He has done more probably like reality TV. He did Fresh Prince of Bel-Air as well. He was Dwayne. This is a guy who I feel like would be willing to do a regular TV series. Like, he's not unknown, but he's not a big star either.
Right, right.
And so Star Trek tends to go for people like that. And so I could see this guy doing it, but he's also got the look of Tuvok. And even though he is comedic and could deliver those one-liners that Tuvok is so famous for beautifully, I feel like he could also put out a really good serious side and play an excellent Tuvok.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I went with him.
All right. I have Torres next, Balana. Some of you are probably going to roll your eyes like, really? Like, this is who you're going to go with, Tristan?
Eh.
It's like, it might be a little sci-fi incestuous.
Oh, boy.
But I want to get her back to sci-fi because her original sci-fi appearance was golden and perfect. And then her second one was atrocious. I want to bring her back for a third one to really hit home. And that's Marina Baccarin.
Okay. I wasn't entirely sure who you were going for here. I almost thought Tracy Scoggins.
No, she is right now. She's going to play Copycat in Deadpool. And she's also in Gotham as Dr. Leslie Tompkins. And she's also done the voice of Gideon on The Flash. And she's probably most notably in Serenity and Firefly.
Okay.
As the companion Inara. And she is gorgeous. She's great. She was born in Brazil, and she has she's of Italian ancestry. So, I think she has some Hispanic ancestry in her as well as Italian. So I'm not quite sure if we would keep it Balana Torres, but I wanted someone who was either had Hispanic ancestry or Italian ancestry. Someone. Who wasn't just German or British ancestry like I am, you know, like someone along those lines. And I think she's a great actress. I don't really picture her as fiery, but in Firefly, she was very much like she suffered no fools, and she would snap at you if you were treating her poorly. And I think that she could do that in engineering.
Okay, very cool. I'm going to have to look her up as well. I went with somebody I do not really know because I've not watched any of these shows, but I went with Arielle Kebble. She was on Vampire Diaries, True Blood, Life Unexpected, and Gilmore Girls. So you've probably seen her. She definitely has a Roxanne Dawson look, face, even though she does not have a whole lot of Hispanic ancestry. I think she's of German descent, if I'm remembering correctly. But you put her in Klingon makeup, and she's got the face. I mean, I really see it. And she's got a good voice. She's definitely got that firm, I'm not taking any you-know-what from you kind of voice that Roxanne Dawson had for Balana. And she could bring that as well. So I went with her.
She was the girl who married Dean in Gilmore Girls. Okay, so that's who she was.
Yeah, I mean, again, I've not watched the show. I have no idea what she did, but I'm going off of IMDb on this one. And so she's done tons of other smaller things, and she's very active in TV and film. Okay. So it wouldn't surprise me to see her get a 7-season TV show and break out as a huge star.
Very cool. Very cool.
All right. Who's next for you?
I have Tom Paris next.
Okay.
And the Tom Paris that I chose is I wanted someone who had boyish good looks and was incredibly charming, but you knew could sell a troubled past. And so I went with Charlie Cox.
All right.
Most notably recently from Daredevil. He plays Daredevil in Netflix's Daredevil. And he was also in Stardust, The Theory of Everything, and Stone of Destiny. He just, I feel, and he's only a couple years younger than Marina Baccarin. And I think he could really sell the, you know what, I screwed up in school. You know, like, I got some people killed. And so now I'm running around France getting drunk. But, you know, you need me to fly the plane, I'll fly the plane. Okay? You know, like, I just feel like he could sell that. He just, that grin of... You, when you look at that face and you see that grin, you could be like, wow, ladies don't really tell you no that often, and it's gotten you in trouble. And that's why I wanted it for Tom Paris.
Okay, very cool. I kind of went on similar lines in terms of you've got to have that beautiful boyish face. You've got to have a charmer. You've got to have just essentially the right look and feel, frankly. I went with an English actor who is not very well known here at all, but he is currently starring in a drama called Cranford on BBC One. He's an English actor. His name is Simon Woods. He has, I think, kind of a cute boyish face, like his smile. Yeah. He's got kind of chubby-ish cheeks, even though he's not got like a big build or anything like that, but he's got the boyish face for sure. And I don't know. I've listened to his voice, and maybe it's the English accent, which I think adding that on to Tom Paris would be fantastic. Even if he toned it down, that alone, I think, is going to charm the pants off of the ladies. And he's got it. He's got the mannerism.
He played Mr. Bingley in Pride and Prejudice.
Yes, he did. So that's probably where most people here know him from. He also did the miniseries Rome, which I remember hearing about, like, was it 10 years ago?
He was Gaius in Rome, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So he is an active actor, but he is not a big, oh my gosh, in-your-face actor.
Yeah. By far, I think my favorite choice of yours. I think that's fantastic picking, yeah. That's a good, solid choice.
Thank you. So, next up.
I have Kim next up.
Okay, me too.
All right, so I wanted to keep Harry Kim Asian. I feel like we needed that diversity on the crew. I think Voyager did great with diversity of gender as well as race. And I just, one of my favorite Asian actors out there right now, besides Garrett Wong, of course, is Steven Yeun from The Walking Dead.
Okay, I wish I watched Walking Dead. I think that's been mentioned several times now. A lot of people have been on that show, and I don't know any of them.
Yeah, he's a regular. He plays Glenn on The Walking Dead. And that's really all that I know him from. He came out as a voice actor in 2007 and then did some shorts. And then he had a guest appearance on The Big Bang Theory and then just did some side characters here and there on TV series like Law & Order, Warehouse 13, and then... And then he got Walking Dead in 2010. So for a couple of years, he just did some TV series and then boom, instant stardom. And okay. I really like, he has this very youthful face, and it's not the same kind of boyish good looks as Charlie Cox for Paris. But like Steven Yeun looks like he's only a couple years older than I am. And he looks like he could be the Green Ensign, like the guy who's nervous about coming onto the ship for the first time.
Uh-huh.
He looks like he could be very smart and very competent like Kim was and is. But at the same time, like you could see him fumbling with his tricorder because he's so nervous. And
right.
I think him and Charlie Cox would make a fantastic buddy pairing.
Ooh, yes, indeed. That makes me wonder about my choice because this is somebody that, again, I don't really know very well. I only saw him in one thing and didn't know it was him until I found him when I looked him up. Harry Shum Jr. Now, he's best known for being Mike Chang on the Fox show Glee, but I saw him on You Got Served way back like 10 years ago. He is also a dancer.
Oh, okay.
And I actually had an interesting conundrum with casting Harry Kim because Harry Kim is supposed to be Chinese, but Garrett Wong is Korean. So who
yes,
was I
and
going
Steven,
to
Steven
go with?
Yeun is Korean as well. Just yes.
Okay, and I went for a Chinese guy. So I wanted to break that whole thing, like, oh, all Asian guys look the same. And since Harry Kim was Chinese, I decided to go with a Chinese actor. because there were a lot of really good choices for Korean actors, but this guy, he is young, he's got a youthful appearance, he definitely has a Harry Kim look, but he's also an experienced actor, and I kind of wonder how he and my Tom Paris would play off on one another. I wonder, because I don't know. I have a hard time imagining those two together.
He's definitely got the look. I'm looking at a picture of him right now, and he's got a very solid Harry Kim look. He's very good looking, and he's got a youthful face. But at the same time, it's funny because both you and I picked actors who are 10 years too old to play Kim.
Yes, whereas I picked a baby for Janeway. I needed to pick a 17-year-old to play Harry Kim, I think. But no, this guy is 33 years old. He's only a year younger than me.
Yeah. All right. Well, I have Neelix next.
Okay. Tell me who your Neelix is going to be.
This is probably my worst decision.
Do tell.
I had no idea, none, zero clue on how to cast Neelix because Ethan Phillips is Neelix.
Yes, yes.
There
sort
is
of like
no
how,
other Neelix.
Yeah,
Ethan
Robert
Phillips
Picardo
is
the Doctor, and that was also a tough one.
So I went with someone who does a great job of being a clown, literally and figuratively.
Oh my God, did we pick the same person?
And I wanted someone who... Like, okay, Ethan Phillips is a very small person, small man, and a wee person. And so I went with someone, I was like, you know what, like, let's do something different. Let's keep the clown aspect, but let's get a big guy in there so that they have a different dynamic on the ship. Because if you had a big guy with that same kind of personality, I think he would play it very differently. And so I went with Eric Stone Street.
Okay, we do not have the same person, but I thought for the briefest moment we picked the same person. I thought, no way.
No.
Okay,
Eric
tell me
Stone
why
Street.
You picked him.
Yeah, Eric Stone Street is most notably from Modern Family playing Cam, who is Mitch's partner, and I think now husband. I stopped watching the show. He does comedy so well, and I've also seen him do drama, and he is a very talented actor. And he has this very innocent look to him. Like, he plays innocent very well. Like, if you... He looks like if you insulted him, he would take it personally. He would probably... He wouldn't understand why you were insulting him, and he would probably go into a corner and cry. But he's a big man. And so he could be intimidating if he wanted to be, but he chooses not to be because he would rather cook you a meal and listen to your problems. And so that's why I chose him as Neelix.
Interesting. I had a really tough time casting Neelix as well, and I went with a very erratic choice. I don't think this would actually work in real life, but I went with Corey Feldman because the dude is just the most oddball. Like, you know how Andy Dick worked as the EMH Mark II?
Yeah.
If you could rein in Corey Feldman and his eccentricities into playing a comedic role and playing Neelix, put him in the makeup, I think it could happen. And it's a ridiculous idea. I know it is. That's why I picked it.
I'm not going to criticize it.
Yeah, you are. Deep down inside, I hear you saying it. I hear you.
But at the same time, I cannot say, yeah, sure.
I mean, I know. We might as well get Charlie Sheen on board. I know, his personal life, like, this would never really actually happen, but if we could tone him down a couple notches and make it work, maybe. For a whole series, though, that would be really tough. Like, Andy Dick for one episode was probably a feat in itself, but to get Corey Feldman for 7 years and, like, sane enough to do a TV show that long, that would be a stretch. I understand. And yet, imagine Corey Feldman in Talaxian makeup and costume.
You're not going to get me to agree with you.
No?
I'm sorry.
Someone out there has to be understanding where I'm coming from on this
but let's move on. There has to be. All right, let's do the Doctor. Let's do the Doctor next.
The Doctor.
This one was also a really hard one for me. And so, because Robert Picardo is the Doctor and Ethan Phillips is Neelix, I went in a different direction again.
Okay.
I with the same thing that I did with Neelix, like I wanted somebody very different physically, but someone who could do the same kind of emotions. And so with the doc, I went with someone who I kept the baldness.
Okay.
And which is important, I think.
It is.
And but the thing is, I definitely picked someone who was handsomer than Robert Picardo.
Oh, how dare you!
I have nothing against Robert Picardo's looks. I think he's a fine looking man, but I went with another House of Cards alum, and that's Corey Stoll, also known as Peter Rousseau from House of Cards, and also most notably recently from the Ant-Man movie as Yellowjacket and Darren Cross.
Wow, that's really hard for me to imagine him as the Doctor knowing his role on House of Cards, but he is a very good actor. Of course he could do it.
Yes. That's the thing. Like this may be the hard, like actually in retrospect, this might be my hardest pick, because after I was talking about Eric Stone Trick as Neelix, I was kind of talking myself into it. With this one, it might be a little bit hard for me to talk into it because I kept the baldness. I think he has those piercing eyes, and Picardo has those nice eyes. And
yes, he does.
It's just, I felt like, what would it be like if we had someone, like Corey Stoll is a very handsome man. He's very tall. Mm-hmm. And so what would that be like if you had, like, because with Picardo, you saw him as a doctor. You're like, if he walked into your hospital, it'd be like, oh, that's a doctor. You know, but if Corey Stoll walked into your hospital, you're like, oh my God, who is that? And so I wanted someone who, I don't know, who could take the, am I an individual, am I not, and kind of turn it on its head, where he has the emotion, he has the personality, but at the same time, it's him struggling with sentience with personality. Because, you know, like at the beginning, you know, Picardo had a very abrasive personality, but I could see Corey Stoll having a personality of, I'm the doctor, and you're going to get along with me, but are you going to respect me? kind of situation. I feel like, uh-huh. And that was a big thing that Peter Rousseau had as a character in House of Cards, was he was essentially good at his job, and people liked working with him, but at the same time, he had so many personal problems that interfered with his job. And so I feel like we've seen Corey Stoll go through this, so why not see him turn that on its head, and where you kind of flip-flop it a little bit, where he's great at his job, but I don't know, he has some issues that he has to work through, and instead of a drug problem, it's more of sentience.
I mean, no difference whatsoever in those two totally different things.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, love practically it, it's the same thing.
You'd actually have to give him just a teeny bit of hair, because he is completely bald. I'm sure he shaves his head.
Well, no, he has, it's still there. He has a faint Picard thing going on.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I've always just thought he was completely bald, but okay, maybe
like,
I'm not
like
looking
like Picard enough. And Nemesis.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, again, the doctor was a hard one, and so I went entirely like on whole like facial matchmaker kind of an age appropriate. I went with Colin Firth. Imagine
nice!
Him bald.
Amazing.
His face is that of Robert Picardo. You just do it, guys. Look it up. Go on IMDb, look at his face, and imagine that he doesn't have that beautiful head of hair.
I don't see it.
No?
No, I don't
do.
See it at all.
I totally
do. I think this a fantastic choice, but I don't see Robert Picardo.
This was
at all.
One of the first things that came to my mind as an actual actor I knew of. I thought, maybe he could be the doctor. And so then I kind of, you know, like, I had to do my research, though, and see if anybody was better. And then ultimately, though, this won out just because he is a known actor. And I don't actually think he would do a Star Trek TV show. I don't think that's likely. He's got way too much of a career behind him, I think, to not do films. But at the same time, like, I do see it. And I think that he would have the nice mannerisms that Robert Picardo gave the doctor. He could do it in just as, like, in his own style, though, but just his own, you know, pointed attitude of an ENMH. I could see him doing it.
But he's a fantastic actor, and I feel like Colin Firth could do anything that you threw at him.
Well, that's true. You could. But he would be an exceptionally good doctor, and I feel like Robert Picardo did such an exceptional job with his doctor, you need somebody just as good. So he got my vote. It was a very convoluted, roundabout way of getting there, but yeah, I think he wins out.
Good choice. Good choice. Okay, right. So I have one more pick. Now, okay. Did you pick Kes or Seven?
I did. I did. I did both.
You did, but I only did one.
Okay, who did you do?
I did Seven.
Okay, who did you pick for Seven? Is it Charlize Theron?
I wish. No. I think Charlize Theron is too old to play Seven.
Yeah, I have to agree.
So I went with somebody young, someone who's around my age, and I probably should have picked somebody a little bit younger, but she plays young very well, and some people probably won't like this choice, but I don't care, because I really like this choice. And I chose Rooney Mara as Seven of Nine.
Okay. I have to look this up.
Rooney Mara is most famously known as Lisbeth Salander in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, directed by David Fincher.
Oh, okay.
And she was also Zuckerberg's girlfriend at the beginning of The Social Network.
Yes, she was. Okay, I've seen her in so many things and I had no idea.
She was the protagonist in Side Effects, and she was also Joaquin Phoenix's ex-wife in Her.
And she's a sibling of Kate Mara, who was also on House of Cards.
That's right.
Now, I have a hard time with this one. I mean, yeah, she's beautiful.
I understand that.
But she does not look like Seven of Nine. It's not even the dark hair.
She does not look like Jeri Ryan whatsoever. I didn't really
not at all.
I didn't pick people who looked like their counterparts. I picked people who I think could play the role. And okay. That is definitely, like, I did not try to find a Jeri Ryan copycat. I didn't try to find an Ethan Phillips copycat or anything like that. With Rooney Mara, she kicks so much ass in Girl with a Dragon Tattoo that she is such a strong female character that we need that in Seven of Nine. You don't want to cross Seven of Nine because she's intelligent and she'll kill you. And Lisbeth is the epitome of intelligence and the epitome of temperamental. Definitely know that she can play that. She's also shown that she can be a fast talker and witty, like in Social Network. And so I feel like Lisbeth in Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, like she has a photographic memory. Like she like Seven. She has a hard time fitting in with others, like Seven. She can kick ass, like Seven. She has great investigative skills, like Seven. She's super smart, like Seven. And so there's so many parallels with Seven of Nine and Lisbeth in Girl with the Dragon Tattoo that it would be no stretch of the imagination for Rooney Mara to fall into that. And I can picture her in Borg makeup with the eye, and I get chills thinking about it.
I like it. I like it.
But who did you pick for Seven of Nine?
I don't like my choice.
Well, just give us your Kes then.
Okay, I'll give you my Kes. And that person is Heather Marks.
Heather Marks. I'm going to have to look that person up.
Yeah, I did not have an idea who she was. She's more known as a model, and she's from Canada. But she's got the beautiful blonde hair and, I think, the face to look like a good Kes. And for a young... Like, she's definitely young. She definitely has, I think, sort of like how Jolene Blaylock came on as T'Pol. Mm-hmm. You know, she doesn't have a whole lot of acting under her belt. But if she ever had an interest in acting, this would be the kind of breakout role that would be really suitable for somebody like her who, if she wanted to get into it, this would be good.
So this is who you like. And she's tall, too. She's 5'11".
Right, and of course, Jennifer Lean is not.
And this is who you would pair with Corey Feldman.
Well, I mean, they are an odd couple. Let's just make it weirder.
That's true. Look, Neelix and Kes are a very odd couple.
I have zero balance in my cast compared to you. I just mostly went for looks and sound. You went for actual good reasons. Like good actors, but I had such little know-how on who was who that I had to go off of something. And so what do? You go for the superficial. So there. I don't care how tall she is. We can put Corey Feldman on an apple box. It'll be fine.
Well, I mean, Ethan Phillips is short. So, I mean, yeah. you could just play that up. Yeah, it works.
I mean, she's beautiful. And in real life, if she ever wanted to get into acting, it would be a good introductory role for her. Yeah. That's all.
Absolutely. All right. Well, this was a lot of fun, and a lot of listing and a lot of names that some people probably didn't recognize, but hopefully we explained it enough. We went a little long this week, but that's okay because we had two very cool topics to talk about.
We did. And you know what? We talked about how we can't really sit around for a whole hour and not have problems with our rear ends. Well, guess what? We've gone over an hour.
We've gone over an hour, and I'm kind of shifting in my seat right now. But we want to hear from you guys. We want to know, like, what would be your dream cast for across all Star Treks? What would be your super crew? And who would you reboot in Voyager? And in your own rules, whether it be a reboot for a TV series today or a reboot of an Abrams-style movie. You know, whatever rules you make, let us know. We want to hear from you guys because, you know, like, our picks are really just our picks. I'm sure that you guys listened to our picks and gone, what? Char, Tristan, that's insane. No way in hell could those people play that character.
It's okay. I know I'm full of it. I don't know about you.
But, yeah, we want to see, like, you know, can you guys do better? What do you think? And who is your cast? Who is your crew?
Yeah, so hit us up on Twitter, or better yet, go on the Babel Conference, because this would be a fantastic thread in there. If you don't know about the Babel Conference, it's on Facebook. It's a closed group that's exclusive to Trek FM listeners only. So if you're not a member, type in the Babel Conference in the search field and then ask to join, and somebody will let you in right away. So, recasting Voyager is not the only thing that we've been talking about on Trek FM this week. Here's a little glimpse at what else is going on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm. Standard Orbit.
You did good, Captain Kirk. Is he in that last shot or not?
Yes, he is. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, wait a minute. Did they pull a weekend at Bernie's or something? Like, they just hold him up there, you know? He's okay! Well, it's cool!
Earl Grey.
Daddy, do pets have a Nexus 2?
The Pexus.
Kirk had a dog in the Nexus 2, didn't he?
Butler. Butler is now Shadow. So we have the adventures homeward bound of Butler, Porthos, and Spot. Will they make it back to their owners in Montana?
The orb.
Well, apparently, and did you find this interesting, Matthew? Apparently, the Navark reports directly to the prophets.
Which is awkward because they don't always show up for meetings, so.
Right.
Yeah.
Plus, you never know what time the meeting is really going to be, right?
That is true. It could have been yesterday and you might have missed it.
The Ready Room.
Do you think this episode would have been so popular and remain a fan favorite if the Enterprise had been overrun with zebra mussels?
To the journey!
It's so average American. It's like Joe Smith. And no offense to Joe Smith, it's just, I could have tried a little harder. I mean, come on.
You might as well call her Jane Doe. So far, not off to a good start. So far, I'm judging you, Char.
Give me a moment.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
And I remember like being like in mid-air, having this conversation with his brother and saying, this could be the best Star Trek ever, and then just like landing on the ground.
Is it a metaphor for how you feel about Voyager as a series?
No comment.
The 602 Club.
The young adult novels have their own framing devices that tie in to The Force Awakens, and I think that if they had put those front and center, maybe even expanded one of them, or what have you, I think that would have served the strategy better. I definitely do.
Literary Treks.
Well, that really is the bottom line, you know? And I think it's particularly difficult with this group of characters because in some ways you're looking at folks who literally are the brightest and the best, right? So in some ways we need them not to have feet of clay. We need them to be so much better and stronger than we are so that we have something to shoot for.
Women at Warp.
There's always a touchstone, and this was as close to a touchstone as they ever got with Pulaski.
Plus she banged Riker's dad.
Oh, Andy.
I'm sorry, I just think it's so funny.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We're available in any way that you can possibly want to get your podcast these days. And none of them are possible without the help of our folks on Patreon. Guess what? We have a fourth associate producer now on TTJ. We want to welcome Bruce List as an associate producer of the show, along with Kenneth Tripp, Jamie Deuce, and Aaron Harvey. You can follow Aaron on Twitter at GeekFilter. We want to thank them for supporting us and all of our patrons for supporting Trek FM at large. You keep the network running. And if you are not a subscriber yet, go to patreon.com/trekfm and check it out. We would appreciate everybody's help to keep this thing going. Now, next week, what are we going to do?
Next week, I'm keeping it super secret, but...
Again?
I'll give you a little bit of a crumb, a tidbit of information. We're going to do a commentary, so buckle up.
I like that. That kind of falls in line with the Abramsverse theme we've had.
But you'll have to tune in next week to find out what episode we're going to do a commentary on. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!